Well, we've got the weekend coming up. It's time to talk about movies, and Father's Day is this weekend, so of course we're talking about movies about dads. You may remember that during right before Mother's Day, we talked about great movie moms with Rafer Guzman of Newsday and Emily Rems of Bust Magazine. They are back now, and this time they're going to talk about the world's best movie dads. And the first father you picked, Emily, was actually somebody that we spoke about yesterday, and he's possibly one of the most beloved on-screen dads of all time.
You're going to hear some ugly talk about this in school. But I want you to promise me one thing. That you won't get into fights over it. No matter what they say to you.
Yes.
Gregory Peck as Atticus Finch in To Kill a Mockingbird. We talked to Mary Badham yesterday, who starred as Peck's daughter in the movie, about why that film lives on and the book. You can actually listen to that interview at thetakeaway.org. But Emily, why do we love Atticus Finch?
He's such a great dad because not only is he the moral compass for his family, but he really is for his entire community. And then specifically as a dad, he provides them a lot of love and a lot of guidance and a lot of structure. But you also see these kids given an enormous amount of freedom, especially Scout as a young girl in the 1930s. She's a very non-traditional girl.
Tomboy, yeah.
Definitely lets her be herself, and there's something very moving about that.
Okay, so Rafer, you picked a father from an Italian film, actually. You picked the dad from Life is Beautiful. So Roberto Benigni, obviously one of the most adored dads since this film about the Holocaust movie came out. What do we like about him?
I think what we like about him is that, well, obviously he makes the ultimate sacrifice for his children. I mean, they're in the worst possible situation you can imagine. They're in the Holocaust, and he manages just through his wiles and his will to convince his son that it's all a game, that it's all fun. So he manages to preserve his kid's childhood even while this horrible stuff is going on. I think that's one of the functions of being a dad, in a way.
Okay, those two are completely understandable. I imagine that you'd get a lot of buy-in. But going on to the second choice from Emily, not only does this dad not appear much in the film, but he's a bit non-traditional.
I know it's a little early for Christmas, Edward, but I have a present for you.
Vincent Price.
Dr. Fibes himself.
That's right. Inventor, father of Edward Scissorhands. Emily, why this guy?
Well, this was Vincent Price's last film,
yeah,
and it was so unbelievably poignant to see him in there. And although his part was admittedly short, he was only in three scenes, he really was the center of the film, in which he showed Edward how to love and how to trust and how to be creative. Even though he left him unfinished, he did die having given him those things, and that is what launched Edward into his new life in suburbia.
Right.
Kind of dark here, you guys.
So far, we're a little bit serious, but we're going to move on to a comedy next. Rafer's pick, I imagine, always was an icon of the 1980s, this entire film. I imagine a lot of mothers picking this dad.
Sure.
Because, you know, obviously it's a reaffirmation of how difficult the job of momming is, and also kind of a discussion of how dads maybe could change the way they do things.
Half pound of salami, half pound of Swiss, half pound of Virginia ham, two celery. Oh, I think these are on special.
Doesn't matter. Sorry.
Let me check. Are these Kotex maxi pads on special?
Never mind, Derm. Sorry, forget it.
Kotex, 19 cents off. Nice.
Michael Keaton in Mr. Mom. What do you love about this this dad?
I think what I love about him, first of all, to me, it's the definitive Michael Keaton role. I think he's never been better in a movie. And I think what I like about him is that he's doing what he's essentially not built to do. And I think a lot of dads feel that way. He's trying to be a caretaker. He's trying to be a nurturer. He's trying to be all these things. I mean, you know, men, I think, are built to do a lot of things. That's not really one of them. But he's trying his best, and I think that's what people love about that character so much.
The coping thing, yeah.
The coping, yeah.
And the adapting. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. Okay, now we got to get to this last choice from Emily, because
this one is crazy.
This one is. It goes. You thought Vincent Price was odd. How about this one?
Then I'll huff, and I'll puff, and I'll blow your house in.
Ooh.
Here's Johnny.
That is not most people's idea of a nice Father's Day. That, of course, is Jack Nicholson in The Shining. Really, Emily?
Well, if you're going to talk about memorable movie dads, this is the ultimate. This is every child's worst nightmare. It's one of the scariest movies of all time.
Definitely an icon.
And it's really because he taps into, I think, that primal childhood fear that at one point, you know, especially if you're a young child, that your parent is just going to lose it and chase you through a hedge maze with an axe.
Okay.
Anything you want to share, Emily?
Well, on that note, let's move to trivia, because let's go to one of the actors who's actually appeared as a dad more often than perhaps anybody else over the past 30 years, but he is not a dad in real life.
Name him.
I would say Steve Martin.
Yes!
Wow, good one.
Yes!
What's the matter, honey? You don't feel so good? You feel like you want to throw up?
Okay.
Gil, why are you just standing there?
Waiting for her head to spin around.
He was the dad in Parenthood, two Father of the Bride movies, right? Cheaper by the Dozen, Bringing Down the House a Lot. No children in real life. That is Rafer Guzman, Takeaway movie contributor, film critic for Newsday, and Emily Rams, managing editor for Bust Magazine. Thanks so much to both of you, and happy Father's Day to everyone out there.
Keep the conversation going. Who's your favorite movie dad? You can weigh in on thetakeaway.org. Coming up this morning, we start our series Relaxing, Remixing Summer Music. Find out more on our site, thetakeaway.org. But you can get the mixtape started right now. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE and tell us what tune sets the mood for the season. Emily, you would sing what?
Redondo Beach by Patti Smith.
And Rafer, what would you be singing?
Perfect Way by Scritti Politti.
Nice.
All right. You can all sing. Later this morning, we'll tell you more about the summer remix festival that we're beginning. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.